Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, December the 3rd, over 30 people have been killed after severe flooding impacts regions of Malaysia and Thailand. Pope Francis dedicates the month of December to praying for pilgrims. But first, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has paused aid deliveries through a main entry point to the Gaza Strip. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. December 3rd marks 424 days since the conflict began in the Gaza Strip. The majority of the 2.3 million inhabitants are internally displaced, with some as many as 10 times since the war began. And as Nathan Morley reports, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has paused aid deliveries through the Kerem Shalom Crossing, a main entry point for humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip.
UNRWA cited ongoing safety concerns for the move. Last month, a convoy of aid lorries were stolen by armed gangs. The convoy of 109 trucks carrying food supplies was violently looted on the 16th of November after entering Gaza, with 97 trucks in total lost and drivers forced at gunpoint to unload their aid. Philip Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, said the decision came at a time when hunger is rapidly deepening in Gaza. He said the delivery of humanitarian aid must never be dangerous or turn into an ordeal. He added that in Gaza, the humanitarian operation had become impossible due to the ongoing siege, hurdles from Israeli authorities, political decisions to restrict the amounts of aid, a lack of safety on aid routes, and the targeting of local police. Israel has in recent months opened a number of other crossings into central and northern Gaza following international pressure to increase the flow of aid, but Kerem Shalom remains the one through which most aid enters Gaza. Meanwhile, on Monday, Hamas said 33 Israeli hostages held in the Gaza Strip have been killed due to Israeli military operations. At the same time, it was announced that the Palestinian death toll from the continuing Israeli strikes has risen to 44,466. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
As charities in Syria warn of spiraling humanitarian consequences following the recent surge in conflict, Qatar says it's working with Turkey to end hostilities in the region. Meanwhile, the renewed fighting last week, led by a terrorist group and other armed factions, has resulted in civilian casualties, the displacement of tens of thousands of people, and severe damage to essential infrastructure. As Linda Bordoni reports, the United Nations Secretary General has joined calls for an immediate cessation of hostilities.
Reminding all parties of their obligations under international law, including humanitarian law, UN Chief Antonio Guterres urged them to protect civilians in Syria and allow safe passage to those fleeing violence. His appeal came as the death toll in days of fighting in the country's north since Islamist-led rebels launched a major offensive has risen to 514, including 92 civilians. Speaking as the Syrian conflict enters its 14th year with the resurgence of fighting in the northwest, Guterres emphasized the urgency of reaching a comprehensive political solution. Syria's people, he said, deserve a political horizon that will deliver a peaceful future, not more bloodshed. The war has shattered millions of lives and livelihoods in Syria. On top of that, two major earthquakes last February have deepened the crisis. And since the Israeli military campaign against Hezbollah that intensified in September, over 500,000 refugees have fled Lebanon into Syria. Humanitarian agencies warn that in 2024, an estimated 16.7 million people will have required humanitarian assistance, the highest figure since the crisis began in 2011. Analysts say the stunning advance on Aleppo by rebel forces came as several key players in the conflict have been distracted or weakened, triggering the heaviest clashes since a 2020 ceasefire that brought relative calm to the country's north. Meanwhile, five foreign powers have a military presence in the country, including the US, Russia and Iran. Turkey, which controls part of northern Syria, will not say how many troops it has in the nation. I'm Linda Bordoni.
As war in Ukraine, the Middle East and other parts of the world continue to rage, the global arms industry saw its revenue increase by 4.2% from 2022 to 2023. This is according to the latest report released by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. Experts of the Swedish-based institute say this trend is likely to continue in 2024 as conflicts and geopolitical tensions persist. Lisa Zingarini reports.
According to the data released by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, sales of weapons by the 100 largest companies in the arms industry totaled $632 billion in 2023, an increase of 4.2% compared with the previous year. The increase reflects the impact of ongoing conflicts such as the wars in Ukraine and Gaza, growing tensions in East Asia, and rearmament programs elsewhere. The figures show that the United States maintained its dominance in the arms sector, with 41 companies in SIPRI's top 100 accounting for $317 billion, a 2.5% increase from 2022. China, the second largest arms producer in the world, saw the revenue of its nine leading arms firms increase by only 0.7% amid a slowing economy, but their sales still totaled $103 billion. The SIPRI report highlights how geopolitical tensions are driving arms revenues globally. In Europe, NATO nations increased military spending in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, resulting in a significant increase in arms sales in several countries. The figures for Russia, though incomplete, give a clear signal of the economy increasingly geared towards war. According to the report, sales by the two Russian groups in the ranking rose by 40%. Manufacturers in the Middle East were also boosted by the wars in Ukraine and Gaza and saw on average an 18% increase in sales. In Asia, the trend towards rearmament was particularly evident in the growth in sales by the four South Korean manufacturers, with revenues rising 39% on average, and five Japanese firms that saw an average increase of 35%. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Italy is preparing a new military aid package for Ukraine, two sources close to the matter said on Tuesday, in a renewed show of support for Kyiv from Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's rightist government. Since Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, Italy has approved nine packages of aid for Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's administration. The sources, who asked not to be named, said the government was likely to approve a 10th package by the end of this month, but declined to provide any details. All shipments have so far been covered by state secrecy. More than 30 people have been killed and tens of thousands displaced as regions across Malaysia and Thailand recover from severe floods due to relentless rain. Florina Joseph tells us more in this report.
Malaysia and Thailand face massive flooding due to torrential rains causing death and sweeping displacement. Considered the most severe in decades, the flood has claimed over 27 lives and affected over 500,000 households. However, on Monday, conditions have improved in some areas and water levels have receded. Meanwhile, weather forecasts predict heavy rains, adding to uncertainty and fear. In Malaysia, the floods have shattered homes, disrupted railings, and devastated more than 38,000 hectares of paddy fields in major rice-producing areas, thus leaving farmers and businesses lurching. On Sunday, approximately 128,000 people have been displaced to evacuation shelters, according to the Disaster Management Agency. On Monday, the Malaysian Meteorological Department warned of a wind convergence in the worst-hit states of Kelantan and Terengganu from December 3 to 4, potentially bringing thunderstorms and heavy rains. This will likely be followed by a monsoon surge from December 8 to 14 across peninsular Malaysia, posing further risks to the region. In southern Thailand, 434,000 households remain affected by the devastating floods, according to the Ministry of Interior. The government has mobilized aid, providing food and essential supplies to affected regions. While water levels are decreasing in seven provinces, Thailand's meteorological department forecasts heavy to very heavy rains between December 3 and 5, especially in the lower southern regions, lowlands and foothills near waterways. Authorities have issued warnings to residents to remain vigilant for possible major flooding during this period. I'm Sister Florina Joseph, SCN.
A number of NATO members are waiting for the new U.S. administration to take office before making up their minds on Ukraine's request for an invitation to join the U.S.-led Transatlantic Alliance, Latvia's foreign minister said on Tuesday. Kyiv has urged NATO foreign ministers to issue an invitation at a meeting in Brussels this week. But movement appears unlikely amid opposition from some capitals and the transition in Washington. Donald Trump, the U.S. president-elect, has said he will end Russia's war with Ukraine in a day, but his team's plans for Ukraine's policy remain unclear. Pope Francis released a video accompanying his prayer intention for the month of December, which is dedicated to pilgrims of hope. The Pope invited all Christians to pray that each of us may become pilgrims of hope in light of the 2025 Jubilee. Devin Watkins has more.
Let us pray that this upcoming Jubilee may strengthen us in our faith, helping us to recognize the risen Christ in the midst of our lives, transforming us into pilgrims of Christian hope. Pope Francis offered that prayer in the Pope video released on Tuesday to accompany his prayer intention for December, which will see the opening of the 2025 Jubilee of Hope on Christmas Eve. He lamented the suffering afflicting our world, saying humanity has great need of hope. Christian hope is a gift from God that fills our lives with joy, said the Pope, calling hope an anchor. We have to hold on to the rope of hope. Hold on tight, he urged. Pope Francis went on to invite Christians to allow God to fill our lives with hope so that we may become gifts of hope for everyone around us. Let us help each other discover this encounter with Christ who gives life, he said, and let us set out on a journey as pilgrims of hope to celebrate that life. And, he said, entering into the upcoming Jubilee is the next stage within that life. As the Church prepares for the Jubilee, Catholics are called to become pilgrims of hope, which forms the theme for the 2025 Holy Year. Don't forget, said the Pope, hope never disappoints. The Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network released a communique along with the prayer intention, saying the Pope video for this month was produced in collaboration with the Dicastery for Evangelization. In the press release, Archbishop Rino Fisichella, pro-prefect of the Dicastery, said the Pope wishes all Christians might never lose hope, no matter the controversy or difficulty we might face. Let us pray, said the Archbishop, that everyone might receive the message of hope that does not disappoint, because it is founded on God's love. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X, and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Patrizio Cipari and Linda Bordoni in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.